This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience, whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist. And wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
So we've got a very special session coming up in the next 45 minutes or so. We get our success panel up and our members from the community coming up. But one thing I just wanted to kind of to allude to very quickly was, I remember my first event 2.5 years ago in Hartlepool in December. And to see the room so big right now with our record number at our European event, some 70 plus people in the room here, is pretty damn incredible. And then yesterday, obviously with the likes of AP and seeing the likes of Marcus from over in America and stuff to be on the stage is pretty damn incredible. So we've got lots of new people in the room today. And we've got, you know, from the likes of Mark who's starting up his business. We've got Natalie there over at the back who is scaling her business, growing her team right now. Well, whether it's Derek who's trying to kickstart his business. We hope that kind of the success stories here, the inspirational kind of their transformative journeys that they're going through, you can take away from this and really kind of elevate your business as you move forward. And there's one other thing that I want to say. It's fantastic to see so many people from the likes of the London event, the Dublin event recently, in the likes of Darren, Aga, Lou over there. I would have had a great call this morning at 6:45 this morning over a bit of coffee. It's fantastic to see, and I hope, you know, in the next coming events over the years, you guys are up here as well, and we can share your stories as well of the progression and the development that you make. So, like I said, our guys are up here on the stage here for you guys to, like I said, take away from their stories. So without further ado, I would like to welcome up Phil Evans, Chris Stankovic, our business genius. We've got Dave Mott, and finally, Lindsay Reynolds. Come take a seat, guys. So before we get started, Chris, if you can just do us a little favor, for the people that maybe not quite aware of you right now, maybe some people you've not met yet, give a little brief 60-second Twitter bio of who Chris is, his business, his journey with PG.
Yep, so I'm Chris Stankovic. I'm here with my wife, Sophie, today, who's also... Stop recording. is also involved in the business. She's in our customer service and front desk. We have a clinic based in Market Harbour, Leicestershire. We are currently a team of 5. We're a little bit depleted with some losses, but we've got some interviews lined up for Monday when we get back. Hoping to hire 2, which takes us up to 7. My journey with Paul started a long time ago, back in end of 2015, actually, when I was looking for marketing advice. I know you said Twitter response, but let me get this one in. So I was listening to a lot of physical therapy podcasts in the States, actually. There's a particular guy called Jared Carter, and he was had a cash pay model where he was interviewing people looking to get out the insurance game and take on cash pay in the US, and how do we get directly to the patient with our marketing. So I'm listening to all these American stories, which is fantastic. Then one day, this British guy comes on the podcast, or a version of a British accent anyway, and it was Paul. And he really connected with me, talking about how it's different in the UK and how our main competition's free, it's the NHS. So I started looking into this guy and saw he's running this course called Accelerator. So I think it was January 2016, just coincided with the shock announcement that we were going to have a child as well, in around 24, 25 at the time. So I was like, I really need to kick this business on now. So I think it was about £2,000 at the time for Accelerator. Jumped to that, and that was kind of me diving into Paul's world. So I've skirted around his world for a long time now. Really useful during COVID to go back to Paul's teachings. And then eventually got a guest pass, like many of you in the room, 2 years ago now in London. And got into a room with, for the first time, I felt like-minded people. People who, you know, really got the journey that I was on. Not only Paul's team, but also the community as well. And I've been deep in ever since.
Certainly love it. Love it. Lindsay?
I wasn't expecting to go next.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Lindsay. I am one half of the Reynolds clan. Some of you may, who were here in December, would have met my husband, Jimmy. So we work together, we've got a couple of kids, so we're here at home with the children. We tag team a little bit. But in June, we're going to be here together. Everyone keeps saying to me, when are we going to see you both actually together, like a married couple? It'll be June. I've booked the childcare in already. So we run a business in Suffolk, in Ipswich, called Alpha Physiotherapy. We've been running just over four, well, we set up just before COVID hit, actually, 4.5 years ago. And we actually, I'm kind of the admin, all the background work, kind of all the logistical stuff. And Paul started advertising to me on Facebook before we'd even actually started trading. So I've kind of been involved with him right from the from the beginning of the business. So that was back in, well, we had a one-year-old at the time. You know, most people kind of establish themselves in life, and they're, well, similar to you, I guess. It's kind of a bit, you know, we had a three-year-old and an 18-month-old when we set the business up, so it's a little bit mental, but that's how we roll. So we've been involved with Paul right from the beginning of our business, and joined the Mastermind community 3 years ago. And I honestly wouldn't be without it, really. Like, we've got some good friends here now, I consider to be friends. And I can't remember what the question was, but yeah, I hope that answers it.
Love it.
Good.
Yeah. Dev?
Hi, everyone. Dave Mott. My business is Physio Fitness. We're based in the lovely south coast of the UK, somewhere called Christchurch, next to Bournemouth. And we've been where we are now for about the last 7 years. We're a team of 16, eight therapists, and eight admin. I've recently brought my son into the business full time. I started the Paul Gough journey 6 months ago. When was the London event? Was it June last year?
Yeah,
June last year. Came to London, event like this. I was like a lot of you newbies here, if you like. Wanted to know what it was all about. Was sufficiently interested and impressed and joined the Mastermind group. And that was 6 months ago. It's really helped me in a number of ways, focus in particular, and knowledge, confidence, and, you know, sense of community, and, you know, getting a lot from everybody in the room, basically. So, it's been a very promising, what I consider, start to this journey with Paul Gough.
Hi, guys. My name's Phil Evans. I know I spoke a bit yesterday introducing myself, but business called Urban Body Physiotherapy. We're based in Solihull. For those that don't know, it's the nicer side of Birmingham. There is a nice side. So I started with Paul about 6 years ago now. 2018. And before that, I was literally dabbling. I had a full-time job and it was just a bit of a side hustle. Got sick of the full-time job and started in January, and I think I saw Paul's advert by February, and I was in the Mastermind by March, April. So because I had no choice. I'd left my job, went pretty hard on that, and saw some results pretty quickly. Fast forward 6 years, lots of, as with every business owner, ups and downs, but we're now in I had a very small room 6 years ago. We've now got our own site with 9 staff now, very different to what it was 6 years ago.
Fantastic. Dave, I'm going to come to you next. Like you said, you've been with us now since London, and over the last 6 months, we've witnessed some incredible changes, I think I can say, to your business, your leadership. What has it meant to be a part of a coaching community and supporting you through the things like that in terms of that gold membership or as, maybe those treats to Chamonix as well that are upcoming this year?
I think a big part of it is accountability. Talking and seeing people on a regular basis doing similar things, and keeping yourself, accountable to that. And I mentioned this word before, but focus. I feel super focused now. I feel like I'm in the zone, if you like. And especially when you start to sell a big block of treatment, once you sell your first one, it's like, oh my God, I can do this. And you get the confidence as well from the Mastermind group. And Paul, when I first sold my first one, Paul said, okay, that's great, but take the price up. So that's what I did. And then I took it up again. And now I'm comfortable, but the price might go up again because I keep adding bits and pieces to it. It's a very real possibility to get these blocks going, you know, and we started the journey 7 years ago with a block of six. Then we introduced a block of 12, then we introduced a block of 25. And what you find is that if you have a block of, say your default treatment is one session and you just haven't got any blocks, your default is one. When you then introduce a block of six, your default is still one, because occasionally people will go to six. But then if you introduce a block of 12, then interesting things happen because the default almost becomes the block of six. So people look at the 12, the one and the six and like Paul Gough's son who said, right, I want three but was happy with one. These people look at 12, six and one and go, oh, I'm happy with 12. But a lot of people still go for 12. Then you introduce a block of 25 and then actually it's funny what happens then. Actually, most of our blocks are 12. And we also can talk about half an hour and hours as well. And now we're selling a lot more hours than we do half hours. So we're selling 12 blocks of 12 1 hours. Then you go to the extreme, introduce another block, and it makes it even more interesting. So, it's been quite interesting, really.
Fantastic. Awesome. Love it. I'm going to stick with you there, though. In the first few months of this year, what has it meant to have, like, a coaching community or a group like these guys that obviously on a morning we get together? What has it meant to help you keep you, like I say, on that focus, on that track, keep them moving forward when potentially those doubts kind of maybe slip in?
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, when you're in your area, wherever you are in the world or in the country, you often... treat your local physios, local chiropractors as competitors, and rightly so to a certain extent. I mean, I don't tend to look at it like that, but even so, you don't have the inclination to go out and talk to them. So, you know, you could try and find out by looking at their website, or if you've got a few spies in there, they're in the midst, you know, you might be able to find out what they're doing. But... you don't really know. You don't get to grips with what they're really doing with their business, which is when you come into a group like this, it's so good to share everything because generally we're not in the same part of the country or even same part of the world. So it's fascinating to find out what you guys are doing. And there's always going to be a clinic that's bigger than you or even smaller than you that's making more profit than you. So... oh, okay, how are you doing that then? And not only Paul telling you why that could be, but also you guys telling you what you're doing to do that. And it's almost like a giver's gain thing as well. So if I give information, I've talked to a lot of people about my programs today and yesterday, but I'm getting just as much information back and I'm quite willing to give that. And I think everybody's willing to give. And I think that's really a key part of being part of this community.
Amazing. Amazing. So when do we all get to go to Chamonix?
Yeah, well, Chamonix, that all went through the business expenses, of course. It was research and R&D, is it you call it? But yeah, that's next year we're looking at Chamonix, potentially with some clients. Oh, now you tell me. Okay. It says you who stood me up last night in the bar. Chamonix, my wife's a director in the business. We went to Chamonix last week, or the week before, and snowshoeing, and hired a mountain guide. It was amazing. And I know a lot of my clients would love that sort of thing. So we are very much looking to take a group of people out there next winter, but then we're looking to do a summer one as well. Potentially we will drive out there in our camper van, take all our physio stuff with us as well, because we'll take the plinth and a member of staff. Not necessarily, well, you know, if you're good. Yeah. And essentially, yeah, provide them with physio care while they're out there if they need it, but help them realise their goals, whether it's getting up a mountain, whatever way we can get them up there, or whether it's just walking through the woods, because that was their goal, you know, so that's what we're looking to do.
Love it. Love it. Lindsay, I'm going to come to you next.
Can I just add?
Yeah.
I always write a to-do list when I come to these events, and it's in red pen actually this time, so I actually action it. And one of the things on there is wellness retreat. Because I sat there listening to you talking earlier, and I was like, actually, that's something I could do as a business, but then I get to go myself. Yeah. And you know that there's people in your business that buy, Paul was saying about it yesterday, they always want to spend more money with you. There are three or four people in my business that literally buy everything that we sell, so I know that they'll come.
Absolutely.
So I just need to book it in the diary, basically, and get myself a spa retreat sorted out.
Love it.
Anyway.
So moving on from that, you're very, obviously, I do a lot of your groups on the morning. You're very a huge participant of being part of these progress groups. How do you utilize the knowledge of that to kind of overcome challenges, opportunities over the last 12 months?
Well, I think everyone has different experiences. They bring different things to the table. We're at different stages in each of our businesses. You know, Dave has recently joined us in Mastermind, but he's been in business a lot longer than I have. So although we've been in this community longer, he actually brings an awful lot to the table. So I think speaking to other people, they do things differently. So the opportunities that we get are actually, there's lots of different components or elements to that. So it's opportunities for personal development as well. So we're sharing ideas of people that we follow on Instagram or books that we've read. Like we in our WhatsApp chat, there are so many, we just like put in there occasionally, right, list us a load of books that, you know, you've read on development. So then I actually borrow a lot of books from the library rather than buying them. And it gets to the point where I've actually got too many books waiting at the library for me than I can actually physically read in 3 weeks. So which is amazing, isn't it? Like you're just reading so much. So you're just like recommending things all the time. So that's kind of the personal development side or opportunities. But opportunities for things like services that you run in your business, recruitment. So Jimmy and I have had difficulties recruiting recently. Paul and everybody always says, always be recruiting. That is probably my biggest lesson of the last 6 to 8 months there. We've had a nightmare trying to recruit. But I think it's using other people's experiences. So you actually recommended something that we're going to implement about setting up some educational evenings for physios in our local area, but getting an expert speaker in. So we've got some links with consultants in the hospitals and things locally, and we're going to get them in to speak, but actually more of a networking event. So it's labelled an educational evening, but we're actually going to get lots of physios in the area there to come to us. We're going to be the hosts, if you like, so we're getting a bit of a name for ourselves, but actually you're networking with potential employees. And then you come to a progress group, and then Dave's like, well, yeah, I do the rugby sevens every year, and loads of sports therapists and physios, and they come and help us out on a voluntary basis. But what we're actually doing is sussing them out to see whether we want them to come and work with us. So the opportunities, you know, for recruiting other people and doing things differently to how everyone else is doing it in your local area are huge. So it's kind of up to us to act upon those as well. So people are talking about things in the progress groups and ways that they go about things, but it's no good if you're not actually going to do anything about it, really, because you're not going to grow, you're not going to develop your business. The opportunities are there, you just have to take them and apply them to your business and how that might work in your area. What else did I write down? So the other thing so Steve McLean, those who have been in the community a little while will know Steve. He gets a little bit of ribbing because he's a Scot. You haven't done any ribbing this weekend for any...
Paul does have half a day left,
on.
That's all I'm saying. And Cam is still here.
Gav's here. Oh yeah, Cam, yeah, of course. Mind you, we can't insult Gav. He's local, isn't he? So Steve McLean is a Scot, and he does nutritional stuff in his business. So we're both physios. His wife is quite big in nutrition in a business called Arbon, and that's a multi-level marketing sort of business. But Steve got me into that. So he has had quite good success in his business with selling nutrition, completely passive income. Somebody alluded to getting nutritional services within your business, and that's what we did. So Steve introduced that to me. We make several hundred pounds a month off the back of that, completely passive income. So that's another opportunity I've had from being in this group, and it's another revenue stream to my business.
I think the big takeaway I've taken away from the first two guys here is the amount of opportunities that have kind of been opened to you by being a part of something like this, in one of the, whether it's a progress group at 9:30 in the morning, or whether we're coming on a coaching call or coming to an event. It's that sharing of the ideas and just really, yeah.
So yes, it is, but you have to be there for it.
100%.
You have 100%. To actually get on the call and then make some notes and then do them.
Yeah.
And I'm not always the best at that. I'll put my hand up, like, you know, you come back and you're a couple of calls down the road, like, yeah, I know I said I was going to do that. I haven't actually done that, but I've done this instead. So there's always, you have to hold yourself accountable, but the team do hold you accountable, but you have to be there in the first place. You have to get on the calls. You have to come to the events, because if you're not immersing yourself in it, then you're just paying money for no good reason.
Chris, I'm going to come to you next. I alluded to this yesterday, obviously, when we gave out the awards. But my question for you is, you know, what's been the biggest breakthrough over the last 12 months? And how's that really, you know, how is kind of, whether it's coaching, community, events, how's that really helped you over these last 12 months in driving your business forward?
Yeah, there's been several breakthroughs over the last few years, as you know, Luke, but working closely together. There's loads of great things about being part of Paul's world, say, from the progress group calls to the community here. You know, seeing Ed do as well as he is, one of the first people I met. You know, seeing Dave sell packages for what he is of 100 sessions, it shows you what's possible. Will killing it on YouTube, you know, it shows us all in the room what we can do. So you take a lot from each other in the group for sure. The mastermind calls is changing the way you think about things is obviously one of the things as well. But the big thing that's probably been the breakthrough in the recent success, particularly in the last year of the business, is the one-on-one coaching calls. Really sort of getting down to working on what I need to work on in my business. And I'm sure the guys on guest pass here today will be the same as me. You'll be very overwhelmed with what everyone's doing, all the tactics, everything that you could be doing. I think it's about really just picking them off one by one, seeing what's the next thing that's going to get the biggest win for you and going after that. And that's what working with Luke's really helped me to do. So the biggest breakthrough on that would be what we worked together about a year ago now, understanding the numbers in the business, really getting a grips on that really. And from there, I've been able to really develop as a leader and make decisions objectively now based on the data rather than emotion or feeling, whether that be people coming with pay rises or structuring what I'm going to be paying a new employee or if we can even take a new employee on and where we go in the business with that. There's one particular moment with you, Luke. I don't know if you intentionally said it to get a reaction from me, but you basically said the business was boring on paper, which to any entrepreneur in the room, that you don't want a boring business. You know, we're very high level, we're up there, creative types. But two things came from that. You know, I got a real understanding of when you explained yourself that, you know, in your finances where your business should be boring. I think the phrase you said, you know, I could leave you for 12 months, come back, and this would look exactly the same, which, you know, for someone that's so growth driven is a bit of a red rag to a bull. So I kind of went, F you, I'm going to stay consistent, stay boring, but at the same time, come back with even higher numbers the next month and the next month and the next month. And we've continued to do that, really. So, yeah, they've been my biggest breakthroughs, really.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the team aspect, because I know we, the meeting structure that we put in place on the Monday, and especially around kind of the cancellations idea and what you helped change there with that coaching.
Yeah, so with the coaching, so from the data, we really, you said to me, you know, you've got a very consistent business, you know, everything's running well, you run it very lean. If I was to make any improvements anywhere, if you wanted to, you know, if you want to push yourself, have a look at reducing your cancellation rate. I think we were hovering around about 11, 12, 13, 14% each month cancellation rate. And you said, right, let's stretch ourselves, see if we can get that under 10. It kind of coincided with us starting a Monday morning meeting as well. So each week we were drumming this home with the team and actually looking at the team goals. I think for the last 7 months since we've done that now, we've been under 10% every single month since, with an arrival rate over 90% each month. So, yeah, it started with identifying it and then commit with strategies to work on it and then communicating those strategies to the team and bringing them on board with it as well, really, which obviously you've been massively helping me with.
And have your team found that?
There was a little bit of resistance at first, just because you're doing something new. I was asking them to come in a little before they were being paid to as well, which staff in the room will know they don't like. Because we were having these team talks and we're looking at data, I think, you know, particularly for the therapists who are carers by nature, going into it, you know, they're all about, well, how's this relate back to the patient care. You know, these are just business figures or financial figures. But it was, as I'd gone on the journey to understand and then helping them understand, is that those figures are related to human behaviour in your business, whether that be the behaviour of the patient or the behaviour of your staff in the business, to get to those numbers. And each one of those is a metric to the ultimate patient success. So if there's a high cancellation rate, then those people have never seen their journey through, so they're not going to get that success. So it's kind of learning to, one, understand it myself in a way, but then communicate it in a way that the staff needed to hear, to bring them along on board with it as well.
Love it. Fantastic. Phil, coming across to yourself.
Sure.
As, you know, potentially the OG of the lineup here straight away.
Yeah, where's Gav? He's the oldest here.
At least on the lineup here. You've been with us obviously 6 years. Kind of, what's the biggest difference you've seen since day one for yourself? From being in
It's got to be personal growth. It's got to be development as a leader, which Chris has just touched on. You don't get taught how to run a business. You don't get taught how to lead your staff. You don't get taught how to recruit. All of a sudden, you've got 3-4 staff, and you're like, oh, what do I do? And so, you know, you make errors, you make mistakes, you learn from it. You just completely change your mindset. And I'd say with that, that's really helped personally as well. So you just become more confident in what you're doing. You're a lot clearer in your goals. So that you're calmer. It's just one big knock-on effect.
And there's lots of parts of this community and in what we do, whether it's coaching calls, progress groups, mastermind calls, events, etc. What's kind of, you know, for Phil and for his business, what's been the most useful part of it for you?
Probably clarity. I think it's having conversation. Well, obviously, community is huge, but if it's clarity on numbers, and so from the numbers, you can get much better conversations with people, with staff, with whoever. And so then you can drive the business in that direction. One of the biggest things I'd say recently is having the confidence to just get out your business. I think I was actually slowing it down. I thought that I was trying to, you know, save the business, or, you know, even bad month, you just treat more. And it's got to the size where I can't get in and treat more and save the business. My expenses are too high, so get out. And actually, since then, I spent a lot more time with my staff. The business has grown, and I've been hearing that from Paul for probably the last 3 years and going, yeah, I need to do that. I've finally done it. And I'm like, what the hell? Why did I do it 3 years ago?
What's, you know, one strategy or one thing you've took over in the last 12 months? What's one big thing over the last 12 months that you've just went, you know, that's really, I'm nailing this thing, taking this business forward? You've obviously mentioned the leadership side of the thing, but what about a little bit more tactical?
Well, I think it's having more time with your staff. I think I now have, because I've got the time, I then have much better conversation with my staff. If there's any problems, I could talk it through. And because you've got the numbers, you have very unemotional conversations. It's black and white, and it's a lot nicer to, these are the numbers, how can I help, what can we do, rather than screwing and going, this isn't working, and, you know, all of a sudden you've got people that are leaving, which we've had. Again, you know we've all probably had to fire people, which is not very nice, and you look back and go, should I have? Most of the time, yes, but sometimes you've got to take responsibility and accountability that maybe I just didn't deal with that right, and you learn from it.
Yeah, Lindsay, I'm going to come back to you for a second. Kind of want to go at the same question I kind of posed to Chris. Kind of, what's one big breakthrough over the last 12 months that's kind of really come from this? That for you, whether it's you and Jimmy, or whether it's the team, whether it's the business, what's one breakthrough that really has helped you?
Well, probably the fact that I've actually heard about the recruitment, as in I've heard you say it lots of times. I've actually heard it in my business now that if I'm not constantly recruiting, we get ourselves into a bit of a sticky situation where we're trapped, actually. So where Phil was, we can't get out because we've got too many people coming through the door, so we have to see them. But that means because we're treating, we can't recruit. So that was kind of, I would say it was a breakthrough, but that's my biggest learning curve. So actually application to my business, I've heard you say it hundreds of times, but until you're in that position
I've learned the hard way, basically. I think we haven't been recruiting consistently enough. So to give you a bit of context, I had a physio hand a notice in October. She left in December, and we haven't got a new starter starting till April. So that's been a whole 6-month prayer. And we've kissed a lot of frogs in that time, I have to say. It's not like we haven't been recruiting. They've been absolute stinkers coming through the door. Poor quality staff or people we wouldn't employ. Probably that's a bit unfair. Or people wanting too much. And so they're not a good fit either. So I think if we had this slow drip of people, potential prospects, that we could at any point call upon them and say, look, actually, we're now in a position, do you want to come in? That would have saved us the whole lot of headaches.
And what's I spoke about this at the start when I came on stage, that for me it was 2.5 years ago I was in Hartlepool for an event, and that was my first one. What's kind of the biggest change you've seen in this community since then?
Oh, it's grown. It's, yeah. Yeah. I think you're attracting lots of, I mean, it's always been a like-minded sort of group of people, I guess, but that's just expanding and expanding, and then you're getting more good conversation in the room, and the caliber of it's just expanding, and lots you then getting lots of different people's experience. So this community, even though it is growing, it doesn't mean it's diluting. It's just becoming more nourished. Is that the word?
Yeah, flourished. I like nourished.
I'll go with nourished.
Yeah. Fantastic. Dave, I'm going to come back to you. I want you to talk to us a little bit. You alluded to this a little bit, bringing your son into the business. Talk to me a little bit about bringing your son into the business and the decision making behind that and how he's helped you.
That's a very interesting question. So last year I took on an office manager. We'd had sort of low success with a practice manager before that. I won't go into that, but we've then recruited an office manager who was very, very efficient, but just very slow. Very methodical, but just very slow. And then when I joined the mastermind group, I thought, right, okay, I really like the look of this physio funnels. How is she going to implement this into my business? And I thought, very slowly. So I then was having conversations with Freddie about his work in London and about potential things he was going to do, etc. And they weren't quite coming off. And it's quite a stressful time in London when, you know, you've got to pay your rent and, you know, you're working and it's time-wise and you're putting loads of hours in and everything. So I thought, right, I'll offer him a get out here, because actually for me, for my business, I thought, well, I could do with somebody a lot younger who knew what they're doing with computers and had a bit of nous about them. And of course, well, I thought, well, you know, I've got a son here that can do all this and he's obviously learned it all from his dad, of course. But he could do it a lot faster than me. And I was faffing about with physio funnels for, you know, a good couple of months probably, you know, and just not really getting anywhere with it until Freddie, I brought him into the business. I moved the office manager on. She's gone elsewhere now. And in the last 3 weeks that Freddie's been with me, he's done far more, 6 times more than me with physio funnels than I've done in the last few months. And I anticipate that he's going to come away with this last couple of days' sessions with a lot of information that we'll look and talk about implementing. And the interesting thing about having a son on board is that you spend obviously more time with them and at home, and you have little conversations which are very valuable, that, you know, you move on and different ideas and, you know, you sort of know how each other works. So it's been a really good move as far as I'm concerned.
Must be proud. Yeah. Same question I think I asked this to Phil as well. Like I said, no, back, stay with you, Dave. Show you, Dev. Oh, sorry. I asked this question to Phil, and there's, like I said, there's lots of areas inside of this that are able to be utilized. What's kind of, where do you find the most success in terms of this community, in terms of the program, and really moving the needle forward in your business?
Different out of the box ideas. I really love out of the box ideas. Yeah, this isn't necessarily out of the box, but one that's worked really well for me is the discovery visits. I was sort of doing a form of a discovery visit before I joined the group, but then I wasn't really having enough hours to do them. Just before I joined the group, I was starting to drop my hours anyway, but then I dropped my hours drastically. I'd do about 5 hours of treatment a week. And that allows me to fit in discovery visits. We're doing more and more of them. Like Paul, I think, said yesterday, that, 80% conversion. I'd say that's about right, about spot on as far as I'm concerned. And also, you've got to say, well, okay, with that discovery visit, what value do you get from converting somebody? And when you've got the different packages, out of that 80%, I would say 100% of that 80%, if that makes sense. In other words, anybody that I convert usually goes for a minimum of 12 hour sessions. And that I might also have something called might also have something called MBST, which is magnetic resonance treatment. We bolt on top of that as well. So they're often packages that are worth about £3,000 for almost every discovery visit that I do. So that's been sort of very instrumental in terms of selling, a package.
You've been here for seven months inside of this community now. And if you look back from day one and what you thought you were going to get out of this to where you're at now.
Okay. I don't think I knew what I was going to get out of it. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. When I first joined. You sort of hope that you're going to get something out of it. And as you go on, you realize that actually it's like a catalyst. You start doing something, you implement something that's been suggested to you, and then that is the catalyst for the next thing. And then you get directed, one way or another, but they keep you're kept focused. And I think that's the thing for me, is it's been a real catalyst. And, so I don't know what I expected at the beginning. I just hoped that something would, it'd be worth the money and be value for money. And it, without a doubt, is. And it's exponential in terms of, if you go for it, you won't regret it, sort of thing.
Fantastic. Phil, I'll come across to you finally. As you're looking to, like you say, you're looking moving forward, like you said, you've been here, six years it goes. You continue to come back to these events. Why?
It gives me time out of the business and time to think, I think, is the big thing. I think when you're in your business every day, going to work, going to the office, you just get bombarded with, and that's something I'm trying to work with, to have boundaries for my own time at work. But when you come to these events, you have 2 days to just sit and think. And obviously you then got the coaches around you, you've got the other members that you can bounce ideas off. But not just that, it's being an entrepreneur is actually quite lonely. You're not with people that kind of get you. We are really, well, I am probably a bunch of weirdos really compared to the Joe public. Yeah, I'm weird, I don't care. I'm quite happy. So then you can't have these conversations because they just don't get it. So coming to these masterminds and the calls and the coaches, you can have a real deep and meaningful conversation about what's going on.
Yeah. So with that being said, last day and a half, what's the big takeaway that you're going to take away from this, whether it's from the community, something you've heard, conversation you've had?
I actually had a really good conversation with Freddie last night about Physio Funnels, integrating it a bit more than I'm doing.
the first phone call, always knew how important it was. Actually doing better than, you know, I come to these sometimes thinking, actually, we're doing all right.
Yeah,
you come to these with some problems going, oh God, everything in your head. You sit down and then you listen and you go, no, actually, I'm doing okay. So the first phone call still needs work. It always will. But it's so important.
So Freddie, come to join you in your clinic.
Yeah, come on.
Is that the recruitment strategy now? Come to the community events and take Dave's half and son.
Well, it's always, you have the best conversations over a beer, don't you?
Absolutely. Chris, I'm going to come back to you there. Just very quickly, the same question to you. You've been obviously here now the last day and a half. What's kind of one big takeaway you're going to take away with a conversation inside of this community to go away and execute?
There's a few. For me, there was something AP said that Paul talked about this before. He gave me permission to do something through what he said. And I wrote it down, I have to write it down, read it. Basically, he was talking about being comfortable not being content. I feel like I am that entrepreneurial mind. I do want to push through to the next stage. We had a conversation about this just before Christmas. I think I was in quite a content place, and it was quite troubling actually to be there. It was that moment of zen and quiet, which you don't get as a business owner. And I think it's because I didn't know what, I was at a plateau, and I didn't know how to push through that. And it was like, do I want to push through it? Because I've achieved what I wanted to achieve, and I'm actually quite content here. I'm happy with my family. I'm happy at the level I'm at. No chaos going in the business at that time. But actually, now I'm pushing through into the next stage in the growth and scaling the business. I'm going back into that not feeling content mode. And then you think, well, am I doing the right thing for me and my family by not always being content and being the happiest? But actually being happy, not being content, as AP said, that's really resonated with me.
Yeah, I think there was one thing he said, and it was almost like, I miss the fear of death. That thing when he said that, it was like, I kind of just, a little bit weirdly, I miss the fear of death.
That was that moment before Christmas, that feeling of zen, if you like. There was no chaos going on in the business, and it was unnerving.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like when you're most alive and you're closest to it. I think when, you know, you turn up for your first day at work, and the girl you've just promoted into a leadership role hands a notice in that day, and your whole presentation and year plans thrown out the window, that kind of, yeah, spurs you on to take that next step. So, yeah, I like that.
Fantastic. Paul, absolutely.
Okay.
Coming in.
I am. Thanks, guys. Good afternoon. Is it still morning?
Close enough.
About 3 o'clock in the morning for me right now. It's always my favourite session, this, and whenever I hear the comments, sometimes people talk about myself or the team or the community or whatever we've built. It's just it's wonderful for me to hear it and know that this, and this is why I want many of you new guys in the room, this has been going on for a long time now, the depth to this and the kind of solidness of everything that we've built over the last few years is watching. The best bit is watching these guys come to kind of fruition now and really starting to make their way as business owners. And wherever you are in your journey, I think it's so important to see these guys and hear their stories and remind yourself that wherever you are, whether it's brand new, whether you're starting, whether you're a solo practitioner, the flower, if you like, doesn't all of a sudden pop up overnight. It's something that takes weeks, it takes months, it takes years. And what's the phrase? It's 20 years to be an overnight sensation. And I think that's such a wonderful, you know, kind of way to think about business. It is tough, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's thrilling, it's fun, it's energizing, it's draining, it's wild. I don't think it's ever boring. No, it's never boring. Not if you're pushing for growth. And I think that's one of the things I've learned over the years, that you're just either in or you're out, right? And you just have to learn to accept that that's the deal. You're either in or you're out. And if you're half-assing it, so I've learned in business, if you half-ass business, it eats you up and it spits you out. It kills you. It's such a beast. There's so many things that are going to get you, from the government changing tax laws and COVID and employees who you... you think you can trust and you've given them a role that week and your whole future kind of depends upon that person taking that role, and before you know it, they've quit. I've gone on holiday. I've had meetings with people on a Friday and discussed the next 12 months of the business. Gone off on holiday with my kids on a Sunday and got a text message on the Tuesday that person was quitting. Emailed it to me, but knew I wouldn't read my email, texted it to me and put it in my WhatsApp just to make sure my holiday was like... was disturbed. And you wake up on them mornings, and I still remember that incident happening. I was actually in Savannah, Georgia. And I looked at my phone, and I never check emails when I'm on holiday. And I looked at my phone, and I thought, oh, I don't want to get a text message off that person. I read it, and it said, please check WhatsApp. There's an important. So I had to go into WhatsApp to check it. And there was this resignation letter. And honestly, I just shut my eyes, right? I'm in like the perfect fucking place with my kids on holiday. I closed my eyes. And I just rolled over and I just thought, fuck, like, what's going on here? Do you know what I mean? What's just happened? And at that point, I thought, right, I've got a choice here. I can sit and whinge. I can sit and whine. I can tell Natalie. I can have a miserable day. I can do whatever. I got up and I went for a run around Savannah. And then I made a phone call to somebody, a guy in business, again, a guy I'd met in Mastermind. And I just was fucking screaming down the phone. I'm like, the fucking bastard. Can you fucking believe he's done this to me? Fucking asshole. I'm going fucking nuts, like, down the phone for 20 minutes. And this guy's just listening to me. And then he's just laughing his head off, like, because obviously he's been through a similar thing. Anyway, I came back in from my run. And Natalie's like, how was your run? I said, it's fantastic. Feel amazing. It took me half an hour, 45 minutes to go from, oh, fuck, my day could be ruined here. My holiday could be whatever. To kind of an hour just to pull myself back around. But you realize in business, you're never, ever going to have smooth, plain sailing. My point is, it's always going to be stuff that you didn't expect. You never crack it. You never nail it. I've got a business now that's in a level of revenue, high seven-figure business. I never thought in my life I'd be dealing with the challenges and the complications of an international business, two tax systems, employing people in different countries, running events here, there, and everywhere. And people think that because the business gets bigger and you make a bit more money, quote unquote, that it gets easier, and it gets smoother. It's fucking the complete opposite. Like, it's wildly different the bigger that gets. What you need is the outlets. Is my point. You need the outlets to be able to deal with it and accept that it does get rough. And you either accept that it's going to be rough. The word yesterday was torture. That's the one he used. I asked last night, I said, can anybody remember what was the word he used? Because it resonated with me immediately. He said, you have to learn to love the torture of business. Because in between the moments, or sport in his case, in between the moments of success, it's just pure torture. There's no other word for it, right? It just is fucking mental torture. The number of variable things and the sort of evils, if you like, variability evils, somebody called it, that can happen in your business. If you don't learn to love them and just get an outlet for dealing with them and being able to manage that, I would honestly tell you to get out of business. And I've wrote about this in my book. If one of my kids said to me, I want to be an entrepreneur, I'd just go, oh, fuck. Really? Like, are we sure, kid, right? Like, do you want to talk about this? Because this is not like normal, what you're about to do. This is a lifelong sign up. The difference with McCoy, he retires after 20 years, right? So there's nuances every year. We don't retire, right? You and I will still be fucking doing this when we're 78, is the reality of it. You'll never retire. If you're anything like me and you love the game and you like the thrill and the challenge and the progress and everything else, why would you retire from that? So you're not going to. You're going to have to learn to love it. And I think you've just got to find ways of dealing with all of the crap and the stress and the shit that comes with it, the torture in between the moments of the, you know, the fleeting fun stuff that does come around, and make the... That's what I went to bed last night thinking. You just have to make the torture part of your life, and you just learn to love. You just learn to love the torture, and you learn to deal with the things that go wrong, and you learn to wake up on a morning in beautiful Savannah with your wife next to you and your kids in the room, and you go, "Fuck, I have a choice right now. I can kick off and I can whinge in front of them, or I can get out and I can go and deal with it, and I can put it to bed in 45 minutes. Boom, it's done. Nothing more." About 2 weeks later, she said to me, "What happened to X?" I said, oh, he quit when we were in Savannah. And she went, did he? Right. And she's like, bastard, can you believe he fucking did that, right? I went, yeah, I said, that's kind of what it's like. And she said, why don't you tell me? I said, well, it's irrelevant. It's absolutely irrelevant. It's not for you to deal with. That, like, you didn't choose this, I did. Do you get it? Like, she didn't choose this. My kids didn't choose this. I did. It's my prerogative to figure out how to deal with it so it doesn't affect their lives. Like, they never ever know if it's a good day or a bad day. It's just a day. If I've made some money, great. If I haven't made any money, so what? If I've had some shit, so what? I go on with a smile on my face. That's my prerogative, and I think that's the biggest challenge for you as a business owner. It's not going to be patience. It's not going to be staff. It's not going to be customers. It's figuring out how to deal with it, because if you can deal with all of that, you'll embrace it. And if you embrace it, you'll come in. You'll bring so much energy and passion. You'll bring everything that you've got to the situation. And it's been my experience that when you do that in anything, magic happens, whether it's scenarios at home, in a relationship, family issues, business issues, finance issues, whatever. You just bring everything you've got to it. Most of the time, you'll knock it over. Might not be as fast as you want, but nearly always you knock it over in the end. So while I was listening to the guys, I wrote down a few things because Phil and a few of these guys have been around for five, a couple of years now. And Gav's in the room. I haven't heard Gav laugh today. Is he dead or is he in the bar? Is he in Temple Bar? Yeah. I just found out Grafton Street last night is actually a real street. I just thought it was an Ed Sheeran song. I listen to that song every week. I just thought that's a cool name for a street. Turns out it's real. Who knew? We might have to go there tonight. In fact, didn't somebody tell me I'd actually been on it? I described a pub I'd been in. He said, "You've been on Grafton Street." I went, "Oh, really? That's a real street." I just thought it was one of those things that Ed Sheeran had made up, but there you go. So anyway, where was I? Gav. Gav's in the pub. Gav's an OG. Yeah, let's rewind. Gav's an OG. Gav's been around. Lifetime. Lots of lessons. Some things I want to share with you about these guys that have been going on for a few years. Of course he is. Yeah, with the Guinness. Yeah. So there's a few things that I think kind of unite the people that have been around for a while that are now doing really well. What you're watching, I've watched and I've been blessed to watch it and it's been the privilege of my life. I started this community about 7 or 8 years ago in the US with a program called Accelerator that has led to about now probably about 350 to 370 active members and businesses involved in it around the world, from Australia, Canada, Bahrain, where the Brunei, sorry, we had the Sultan of Brunei's second cousin or some relation, didn't we? No exaggeration. Actually came to Dublin, didn't he? Remember him, Futon. We've had people from Brunei, we've had people from Paraguay, Thailand, every aspect and every corner of the world over the last 6 or 7 years as we've built the community, you know, right across the US, definitely now obviously all around Europe. But what's been so cool about it is I've got to watch businesses that started with me with 3 or 4 visits a week that are now doing over $1 million. Businesses that were doing $1 million that are now doing 5. So I've been able to watch every you know, one of my clients grow up, basically, go from being kids to adults in business. So I've been able to watch the things that they do and the kind of habits that they've got and the standards that they've got and the things that they have in common. And often when I stand on stage, for if you don't know me, I could come across as a complete arrogant prick, right? And it's like, how dare he say that? Or how can he say this? Or that's outrageous what you just said. And all of it just comes from, if any of you know me, I'm a studier, I'm a learner, I invest a significant amount of money. I'm humble as shit, I'm brash, but I'm very humble. I know a reasonable amount about a very little, but I know very little about everything else. But what I do know, I'll tell you. And it doesn't come from opinion, it doesn't come from hype, it doesn't come from reading the news, it comes from seeking out very smart people or observing what I've watched you guys do over the last 5 to 7 years, and now just sharing it with you, basically. And every year that goes on, I get a lot more stoic around what I say, and it's a take it or leave it kind of attitude now. Whereas in the past, I might have been like, I need to convince you that this, I think this is right, and I have a hunch that this is right. Now I just go, that's what you need to do, take it or leave it. No bullshit. It's totally up to you, because I've watched it now over a 5, 6, 7 year period of people go from 3 visits a week to $1 million practice, starting from scratch to 5, 6, 7 staff, second, third, four locations. I did it for myself, but I've been able to watch these guys. And as I think about these guys, even just from the back, and this took me 2 or 3 minutes to put together, some things that they all had in common. They knew very quickly that marketing was a prerequisite of business, right? And I didn't really have to convince them that they needed to do that. And any time I've needed to convince a business owner to do marketing or just allocate time towards marketing, it never ends well. Never, ever ends well. Take that how you want. But all of these guys have the attitude of, I know I need to learn to market. I know I need to market. Tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. And they move from being, I'm a great clinician, to actually I need to go learn how to be a marketer. And I need to be moving from a great clinician, an expert, to a novice, unskilled marketer. That's a big transition, because you're so successful at this bit, and now you're so out of your depth at the other. That takes so much courage to go there. That makes sense? That's what stops most of you. You're so comfortable with the skill thing, you're so comfortable with the prescription of care thing. Now you move into this marketing thing, and you don't like it because you're a novice. Every one of these did that. They all understood very early the power of a system. Again, I'm pretty sure that at the start, all of them bought Keep or Infusionsoft or whatever and realized that the fundamental aspect of their business was built around some kind of software, some kind of CRM, communicating with patients, following up with patients, having some kind of handle on leads, some kind of handle on automated follow-up, that they couldn't do it all on their own, that patients would say no, but we could get them to say yes. All of them understood that very early. I spoke to Gav last night, and he said he was clearing out his laptop and he found a call from me and him back in 2016. I said, I know exactly where I was. I was in Phoenix at the time. He's like, God, yeah, I remember that as well. And I said, I was actually doing work with Infusionsoft at the time. I was like very entrenched in their world. I used to have such a love affair with that, you know, that company and that software because they were the leader at the time. And I said, I was in Phoenix when I spoke to you. And I said, you were my first ever UK client. So Gav was the first client to ever take the Accelerator program in England. And if you remember with Gav, he was working with the MOD, the Ministry of Defence, and we were like, just quit your fucking job. And he's like, no, I can't. And oh, I'll have to leave it another 6 months. And I'm like, no, just quit your job, dude. Like, here's what we're going to do. You're going to be fine. You're going to do this. Anyway, after about 18 months, he quit his job, got a bigger premises, tired his front desk, hired another physio, started a Pilates studio, hired another one. Last night, he's excited as shit. And this is what I love about your stories. The energy and the excitement in his eyes as he tells me about this new place he wants to get and this new thing he's going to do, and he's close to doing this. That's why we do it. That's why I do it. I'm not really interested in how much money you make, in all honesty. I'm interested in the progression and the growth of you and the development of you. Once you get that, the money takes care of itself. Second thing, every one of them has been obsessed with the community, both being part of it and contributing to it. And that's what's so humbling about listening to the guys. They haven't taken, and I've watched this community grow. There are people who come into it who take and then leave. Take, leave. Get what I can out of it and leave. And candidly, some people come in for that, and that's cool. There's nothing I can do about it. But the ones who go on to have the most success come in and give. And as a result, they get a hell of a lot more back. So bear that in mind if you're coming into our world. We've built a wonderful reciprocating community where people give very humbly. There isn't a competition mindset. There isn't a, oh, what if I share that and somebody does this? It's a, I've figured this out, let me share it, because I know when I give that, I probably get something back off somebody else, which is what Lindsay said. Beginning to lead or understand the need to be a leader. So what that means is there are all now, these guys have gone from sort of babies, kind of learning to walk, to teenagers now. I would describe Phil probably as a teenager, a spotty kind of adolescent, hormonal as fuck teenager, right? Like beginning to get a bit stroppy about business. At first, it was this cute little baby that used to just churn out some money and he'd go and treat some patients and it was all nice and it was all fun. And all of a sudden, these things called people come into your life and they start letting you down and shit goes wrong and they start phoning in sick. And it's like the hormonal teenager like kicks in round about year 3 or 4 when you get 5 or 6 staff. But very happy to embrace that. And to get past that next level, it's like, how do I go from the kind of hormonal adolescent to like the parent, if you like, a bit more mature and a bit calmer, hopefully, a bit more at ease with everything? You embrace the leadership. So lots of the conversations now with these guys are moving towards leadership and how do you manage people and understanding cash flow, whereas in the beginning it was, let's just market, let's get the emails out, let's get the texts out, let's get some Facebook ads out, let's just be a presence in the community. So they've all embraced beginning to lead. And if, again, you're planning on running a business, don't do it without any consideration. You will have to manage people and you will have to manage variabilities that come with people and you're going to have to learn to love that like these guys have. Fourth is a stick at it mentality. Stick at it. Stick at it. It doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come in a month. It doesn't come in 2 months. It doesn't come in 3 months. It'll come when it comes, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months for some of these guys, and all of a sudden you're like, shit, look at Phil. Like, look what he's achieved. Look at Gav, look what he's achieved. Look what Jimmy and Lindsay are doing. Well, Jimmy was in his full-time employment, wasn't he, at the time as well. So many people we've watched pass through who've just stuck at it. And I can't emphasize that. Like, these communities can get a little bit of a bad rep. Well, it'll be like, oh, just get rich quick scams and all that. You're like, are you fucking kidding me? If it was, gee whiz, like, can I sign up for one? I don't promise anybody get rich quick. I'm sat here now telling anybody who's thinking about coming with us, this is going to be fucking hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But it's going to be harder on your own. That's the difference, right? It's always going to be hard. You just have to choose what level of difficulty you fancy embracing. But the guys that I've watched in both the US, Australia, UK, all of the communities, they just embrace that attitude of that it's going to be tough, but I'm going to stick at it. The fifth, which is vital, I just want better. Chris, to a team, I just want better. I can do better for myself than this. I want better than that job. I want better than a 30 grand a year job in the NHS. I want better than working for somebody. I want better than just going home on a night, logging off at 5 o'clock and watching Netflix. I don't want to be that guy. I want to go home on a night with a fucking headache that I need to go and learn how to do something, to read a book. While everybody else is playing Tetris on a plane, I want to read a book to learn how to get better. You watch it. Any of you go back on a flight, right? I love doing this. Anytime I get on a flight, I go for a walk within 20 minutes. And I walk up and down the aisle. And I try and engage quite quickly how many people are doing anything except watching Netflix or some version of it or playing on fucking Tetris on their phone. And it thrills me, right? If you ever want proof in life of how fucking easy it really is, just walk up and down a plane and just watch 250 people, how they choose to spend 3 hours of their life. I sit back down, I get myself a beer and congratulate myself for not being one of them. Seriously, right? And again, it's arrogant as shit, but that's how people that you're going to go up against in business typically play the game. They'll be given a 3-hour window to do nothing. You can do whatever you want in the next 3 hours. Read a book, listen to a podcast, do some work, get ahead of the game, whatever you need to do. Most people's default will be Tetris on their phone. I wanted better than that. And I wanted to sit on a flight for 9 hours, reading books, listening to podcasts, because I knew that that was the behavior that I had to elicit in order to get the quality of life that I wanted. So I never obsessed over a big house. I never obsessed over a swimming pool in Florida. I never obsessed over traveling a certain way or a certain quality of life. I obsessed over the work ethic that needed to happen. And I looked up one day and I went, holy fuck, that's a nice house. That's mine. Holy shit, this is a nice quality of life. I created this. Holy shit, this is cool. But what I continue to do to this day is still obsess over the work ethic that's behind it. And that's the bit that the rest of the world will never, ever get. They never give you credit for. They just look one day and go, "That's it. Look at his life. That's amazing. Oh, he's so lucky. Fucking lucky. You come and sit with me for a few fucking days. I'll show you what it's like. I'll get more done in a fucking hour than you will in a week. I'll deal with more shit in 1 hour than you will in a month and embrace the fucking thing. I will also laugh more in an hour than you will in a month. I'll enjoy life significantly more." And that's because of the work that's been put in. And that's what you're watching with these guys. That's what you guys have got to think and got to embrace as you continue to grow your business. And the sixth, my favorite one of all, society has a very often harsh and sometimes a little too pragmatic view of somebody who's successful, and they'll say, I sit here now and you could be, he's an arrogant prick. He's this, he's that, he's whatever. I'm candid, definitely. Harsh, occasionally. Not an ounce of arrogance. Not 1 ounce of arrogance. I'd be one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. All I'll do every day is figure out what I don't know and then try to figure out somebody or find somebody who can teach me or share with me a better way to live. There's not an ounce of arrogance in a successful person. There is certainty, there's a brashness, there's a candidness, there's a quick thinking, there is a speed of their decisions, which the rest of the world has mistakenly characterized as arrogant. But when you watch a successful person, they're actually really, really humble. And that's what all of these guys are. And that's what all of the most successful guys in my community have ever been. A little bit cocky, and I love that. A little bit of an edge. I described McCoy yesterday to my mom as intense but fun. The complete opposites. I'm sat watching him. I can see in his eyes when he's talking to you. I'm obsessed with their eyes and their body language and the way that they talk. There was so much intenseness in what he was saying. But equally, he figured out how to laugh through it. So I can equally be cocky and I can be blunt and I can be candid and I can be certain. But I can be fun and I can be humble and I can have a level of humility that I think that's what the best business owners have, and that's what the most successful people have. And that's what these guys have got in abundance, and anybody who comes up here. The 5 or 6 things, the little traits that you see, I hope it helps. Just points out, it's very easy for me to say that good marketers, they're good salespeople, they're good at hiring, right? Whatever, right? They figure out all that shit. But they're the traits that these guys have got that I can't do anything about. But they come into this type of environment, boom, and it grows. So well done to every one of you. I think you're amazing. Round of applause, please. All right. Happy? All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Paul Goff's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at the Paul Gough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.